praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Indeed. Down the valleys. Oh, yes. On the land and in the seas, up the mountains, down the valley. Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness. Up the mountain, thank you, Jesus. We praise you, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you adoration, oh God, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness, oh God. Thank you for the gift of life this morning that you've given us the grace to gather together to listen to your word. We do not take it for granted. We say thank you, oh God. Speak to us this morning in a language that we understand, oh God. We commit ourselves to you. The Lord, your grace shall be sufficient for us this morning. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God, and indeed it's another good morning that God has given us to listen to him and to praise him and to just worship him and spend time in his presence. I know it takes his grace, it takes his mercy, takes his faithfulness, and I believe time with God is never in waste, and I know that God has given us his grace this morning. Amen. So we have been looking at spiritual gifts, and today we will carry on with what we call the ascension gifts. Okay, and there's a reason why we call them the ascension gifts, and I pray that we shall be able to understand that by the grace of God. Yeah, so when we look at our core reading, will be from Ephesians chapter 4. And we shall do some verses there till almost 11 or up to 14. Or up to, maybe 15 there. Let's see. So we shall read, and the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, and I read from the King James. And it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. That word vocation there is calling, wherewith ye are called. To walk worthy of the vocation with wherewith ye are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave, this is our key verse, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let me just stop there, but you can finally read some more into that. Now, what is key in this verse is telling us that Christ ascended. And we see that from verse 7 it says, but unto everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So God gives each and every individual grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What is the gift of Christ? The gift of Christ is the Holy Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit that measures what level of gift that he gives us. Remember, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that he gives to every man severally as he wills. So the giftings of God are given by the determination of the Holy Spirit, who knows our hearts, who knows our capacities, who knows the grace that he has given us, who knows our future, our destiny, and everything that concerns us. So when God tells us that I will urge you to live a life worthy of the vocation you have received, or worthy of the calling you have received, that tells us that each one of us has been called differently. We are not called to copy one another. We are not called to do copycat ministry or just follow word for word, follow other people's templates. I know right now everyone is doing online, everyone is doing Facebook, everyone is doing YouTube, everyone is doing Telegram. But the question is, what is the purpose of those ministries that people or the activities that those are doing? And the moment we stop listening to the Holy Spirit, who is able to give us our own template, then we find that we are not effective in ministry. But the Bible says that to every one of us. Now see, what does that tell us? And I keep saying that every human being, or rather every new creation in Christ, has been given a measure of the gift of the Holy Spirit, in that there is no Christian, there is no one who is truly born again that has not been given a measure of the gift of Christ. So there's a measure of the gift of Christ that we are given, and that each and every person is given when they come into the knowledge of Christ. And that's why it says that, wherefore, when he ascended up on high, who is it we are speaking about? We are speaking about Jesus Christ. Remember, after he resurrected from the dead, first of all, and there are two aspects that he did, that he descended. First of all, he descended. So immediately he died, he went to hell. And when he went to hell, he made a public spectacle of all powers, all principalities. They had nothing on him. The Bible says that Jesus said that the prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing on me. So there's nothing that the devil could do. And when Jesus went to hell, he conquered them, and he made a public spectacle of all powers, all principalities. He made a public show of them, and he disarmed them. In the past, I've explained that when someone is disarmed, that means all their powers, all their guns, all their things are taken away. And this disarmament was done for the church. So this does not mean that the devil does not have power over unbelievers. Yes, unbelievers, they are under his control. The Bible says the devil is a, Satan is the god of this world. The devil is the god of this world. So he is still in control over those who are unbelievers. But to the believer, the devil was disarmed, and all that he's left with are strategies and wiles and deception. Remember, the Bible tells us, wage war. Be on your guard against the devil's schemes. So to the believer, what the devil is left with is schemes. And that is why we must be careful, and we must pray, and we must be sensitive that we do not fall into temptation, we do not fall into the traps of the devil, because all he has are traps, all he has are schemes, all he has are strategies, but all power has been given to the Christ and to our Lord and Savior and us and to the church by our joint union with Christ. Remember, we are jointly united with Christ by his death and by his resurrection, and the authority and the power and the place of honor that he has been given is also the place where we are seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. So he descended. So once he descended, he might fill all things. Once he descended, he conquered the grave, he conquered the devil, and now he fills the whole universe. And the Bible tells us when he ascended, he led captivity captive. Can you imagine everything that could hold you captive, that is called captivity, he led it captive. That means all powers, all principalities, all demons, all forces of darkness, they were led captive. So that is why a Christian cannot and should not be in bondage. If a Christian is in bondage, it's because of ignorance, and also it is also because they have given the devil a foothold over their lives. Any Christian who is struggling with bondage that needs deliverance is one that has given an entry point to the devil. Now, anytime you give the devil an entry point by obeying his dictates, you become his slave. Whoever you choose to obey, that is why when Adam sinned, he became a slave of the devil, and he handed over all human beings and all men to the captivity of the devil. But the Bible tells us here, as we are reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, that when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. So first of all, anything that could have held you in bondage was led captive by Christ. When Christ was ascending, the devil and all his cohorts and all his demons for the church, they are in captivity to Christ, and Christ has held them captive. And then secondly, as he ascended, he also gave gifts unto men. The Bible says he also, the versions that says he gave gifts of men. That means that the gifts that he, when he was ascending, that means he gave ascension gifts. And this is what we refer to as the ascension gifts. These are the gifts of men that Christ gave when he ascended. Now, some people will argue that, oh, this was only in the early church, that the only apostles ended in the early church, that there are no apostles of today. Now, the position that I hold and I see from scripture is that, yes, there were the apostles, which are the 12, and of which Judas was also included, but was replaced by Matthias. The original 12, those are there, and you can better call them the apostles of the Lamb. These are the ones who will form the 12 pillars in the New Jerusalem. These are the ones that Jesus called and had their place, had their position. They are the ones who are with the Lamb and who are with Christ when he was walking on the earth. But yet we also see that there are other apostles that came about later. Paul is one of the apostles who was not with Christ, but he was one that saw the Christ. He was able to meet Christ. So we see that for one to be an apostle, you must have met the Christ. And you see, they are master builders. So they are master builders. So there are various characteristics of apostles. I'll not go into it today, but I believe God giving us the grace, we shall be able to look at all the different ascension gifts and grow in understanding into the depths of what God wants us to understand about it. So, yes, this time we are in a time where everyone wants to be an apostle, but the Bible tells us that he gave gifts unto men. And from verse 11, now that he's ascending, what did he give? And he gave some. Now, it's very important that we see the word that is used, some. That means that it is not everyone that is called to be an apostle, and it's not everyone who is called to be a prophet. It's not everyone who is called to be an evangelist. It's not everyone who is to be called a pastor or a teacher. And it is important to see that these are offices. Yes, the Bible says that first are apostles, second are prophets. That means there is rank, in that there is order in God's house, but it does not mean that the apostles are supposed to be greater or will receive a greater reward than the prophets or than the evangelists or than the pastors and teachers. But each of these is what we call the fivefold ministry, but also some people have also classified it as the fourfold ministry. Why fourfold? Because the last part, it says some pastors and teachers, or pastors and teachers has been combined by some to be one office. in that the pastor is also a teacher, and so there's that combination that those who consider it to be fourfold, where it is he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. So just in summary today, I will just try look at this ascension gifts, and I will say the apostles, the purpose of the apostle, just looking at my notes, is the apostle is able to communicate the gospel cross-culturally. So the apostle is one who has met Christ, who has either he has met it in a God has met Christ, or he has seen Jesus in a vision, or he has seen Jesus physically, and he has been given the ability to communicate the gospel cross-culturally. And what we see is that he has the ability to plant churches, he has the ability to go from any to a new place and establish the church. He's able to strengthen the church. He has signs, miracles, and wonders that accompany. And these are the marks of an apostle. And the apostle is able to establish the church part time, because in every season, I believe that the church needs to be moved in a certain direction. And the apostles are given this unique work, this unique message of moving the church in a specific direction. And they are given the empowerment, they are given the gift, they are given the message for it. So they are able to go to where the gospel has been unknown. They are able to communicate a specific message that God has given them. And so apostles are given the grace for this. They are given the grace for leadership. They can be able to see things that are beyond. And ideally, the apostles provide oversight, provide leadership. They're usually gifted uniquely. And they work with the pastors, they work with the prophets, they work with the evangelists, and they work with the teachers. So the apostles should not work independently. Remember, we are part all one and part of the same body, that we are called to one another. Apostles are called to the body, prophets are called to the body, evangelists are called to the body, pastors and teachers are called to the body. Now, the second aspect is the prophets. And remember, it says he gave some to be prophets. So remember, it's not everyone who is a prophet, and you should not force yourself to be what you're not, because the prophets here, and here we need to be concerned that when we are re referring to prophets here, I know there are two aspects of it. There is foretelling and there is forthtelling. Now, foretelling is the aspect of speaking of the future. So a prophet could be one that speaks of the future. But remember, in the New Testament, the prophets also are those who foretell, who speak of an inspired message. They deliver an inspired message under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in that they communicate a message that they have received. It could be through the Word of God, it could be through scriptures, and they are able to communicate it to the congregation. And so that is why we are told, desire the gift of prophecy, because it is for the edification of the church. When you prophesy, when someone prophesies, we edify the church. So the prophets here, the office of the prophet here, is one that communicates the message of Christ, is able to encourage, is able to inspire, is able to motivate, and is able to, to give people the wise counsel that comes from the Word of God. He becomes a messenger of Christ. He's able to prophesy. So prophecy does not necessarily mean one that will tell you your age, will tell you your phone number. I know nowadays there are many prophets who can tell you that through research. They can, I mean, once you fill your form, they can go to your Facebook, they can see you're a nurse, and they can tell you that, oh, I see you're in a white coat, right? And then you'll say, oh I'm a nurse, and then say, prophesy, man of God, go deeper. So I mean, it's not that, I don't mean that everyone who does that is a false prophet, but ideally, the main purpose of prophecy is for the edification of the body. So if the church is not edified, then it is not prophecy. That, I mean, that could be a word of knowledge, in that the prophet will be able to have a word of knowledge, know something about you, have revelation or insight about you, but we think that is prophecy. So let us be careful. That is discernment of spirits, that is word of knowledge, but it does not necessarily mean that that is prophecy. So when they say go deeper, man of God, and try to, people want to be revealed about their lives, then that is necessarily, I will call it, word of knowledge and not necessarily prophecy. But you see, our generation, we've confused it and we are using it inappropriately. So let us note that. So God gave some to be prophets. So prophets see in the spirit. They are able to see spiritually. They are able to see things that we might not see with our eyes. And God has given them that vision that they can see. So how a prophet would work is that, I mean, when you come for prayer, he can see what is your problem. You know, and the prophets work with signs. So, I mean, when you could come to the prophet and maybe he can see maybe a burden on your head. And then when he sees that burden, then he can know that you are facing a heavy load. And from those signs, he's able to ask you questions. And from there, he can know. Maybe he could see a sign that could say you are married. He could see a sign. He could see a demon that's attached to you. And those are things that God enables them with the sight, with the spiritual sight, to see. And that is why the Bible says he gave some to be prophets. Now, prophets are given for the body of Christ, remember. Whenever God gives you this gift or this office, it does not necessarily mean that you form your own ministry, but rather to provide that gift to the body of Christ in humility. If it gives you a ministry, well and good. If God leads you to do that, well and good, but not every prophet has been given the grace to run a ministry. So let us understand that. And the Bible also says, and he gave some to be evangelists. Now remember, we are all called to the ministry of evangelism. We are all called to reach out to souls. But when those that are given the ascension gift, the gift of evangelism, these ones are given a unique grace that they are able to communicate the gospel message to those who do not know Christ. They are able to have great success in it. They have the boldness. And what we see is that God accompanies and confirms his word with signs, miracles, and wonders. In that the evangelists, what they see is they have great faith. Remember, part of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is great faith. They have the capacity to do great miracles. They also have the capacity to also have healing. So healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of faith is a common forte of the evangelist. So the evangelists are usually given this grace. And yet, even if you do not walk in the grace of healing, the grace of miracles, the grace of great faith, the moment you start to evangelize, God testifies of himself. God confirms his word, and you will easily find yourself walking in the grace of healing, walking in the grace of miracles, and walking in the grace of great faith. So when you want to do that, when you want to do exploits, the simplest way to get into it is to be an evangelist. Because at that point, God is challenged and God is a witness of himself, and he confirms his own word with signs, miracles, and wonders. And then the other aspect that God gives us is the gift of pastors and teachers. So I can separate the two for now, but ideally these are two interlinked ministries. So the pastor or the shepherd is what we'll call a shepherd. And this is someone who has the ability to lead, to care, and to nurture individuals, either in groups or individually in the body of Christ, so that they are able to grow in faith. Now, a pastor is someone who has the love and the nurturing care. He's someone who is concerned for you. He's someone who is concerned for the lost. He's someone who can follow up. He can keep inviting you. You refuse to come. He will follow you up. He will keep praying for you. And he is determined to see that you grow. The heart of a pastor is a heart of love. It's a heart of caring. Even when men have rejected you, even when men have cast you out, you have been ostracized, you have been excommunicated from the church, the heart of a pastor will keep following you, because the pastor is concerned for you, is concerned for the sheep, and the pastor is given sheep or given a congregation to take care of. And this might be over a long period of time. Ideally, pastors are given a congregation and they take care of them. So pastors are called to shepherd, they are called to care for the flock, and they have a responsibility to teach the flock, to grow them. And you see, when the evangelists preach, when the evangelists win converts, ideally they should hand them over to the pastors and teachers who will be able to grow them up and nurture them. Now, the challenge is you find evangelists, they quickly, after they have seen they have so much great crowds, they run to form their own churches. And yet their gift is evangelism. Now, evangelists who are given the gift of evangelism and run to be pastors and teachers most of the time result in chaos in their ministry because their heart is very, you can use the word strong, or they're very, you know, rough, in that for them it is heaven or hell, and they have no time to care for you. They have no time to, you know, to be sorry, you know, to cry with you. So, I mean, I can give an example of when I was born. I mean, my father they had the ministry, the starch, the we call him Rabuna Quest, who is the evangelist that started the Pentecostal movement in South Sudan and is still alive today. It's called Benjamin Terra. And when my father went and told him that, God has blessed me with a son. And what he did is that he shook his head, he held his head and shook his head and said, oh, another sinner has been added into the world. You know that you have added work for me. That is work for me. So the evangelist is driven by souls, and he sees every man as a sinner, and he wants them to be converted. But you see, the pastor is concerned that this converted soul grows and to be mature in the things of God. So now the other aspect of the ascension gift is a teacher, and the teacher is given the ability to teach. And that means the person has the ability to communicate Bible principles, is able to communicate the Christian faith in a way that is clear. One thing you will find about teachers is that they are concerned with notes. They are concerned with the teaching. They are focused on completing the notes. And you will find that they take a lot of preparation. Their focus is the teaching. The teacher might not even focus on pastoring you, but he's focusing his core issue is the message. Has he finished the message that God has given him? So when you can find in a body of Christ, when people are given to preach, you can easily distinguish who is an evangelist. You can easily distinguish who is a pastor. You can easily distinguish who is a teacher. You can easily distinguish who is a prophet. And you can even easily distinguish who is an apostle. Why? Because in their messages, the evangelist will always be preaching about salvation. All his messages, 100%, whether he preaches on the camel or on water, the end result is salvation. The pastor, on the other hand, will be focusing on encouragement. He'll be focusing on encouraging people to come to the knowledge of truth, whereas the teacher will be focused on giving you points, and he will give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 15 points that easily the pastor would have given you in 3 points. So one thing you'll have to know is that all these are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And the Bible says he gave some. All of us are called to do this, but the Bible says that, and we see that the ascension gifts are those that God gifts uniquely to be able to fulfill these roles. And the Bible tells us in verse 12 that it is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So who does the work of the ministry? It is not even the fivefold. Ministry, the work of ministry is the work of believers, is the work of the saints. So the purpose of the fivefold is to train the church to reach out for souls. The purpose of the pastors is to train the church, to build the church, to do the work of ministry. The purpose of the evangelist is to raise converts, and these converts are nurtured and they will be perfected for the work of the ministry. Many times we think that those who are in ministry or those who are to do the work of the ministry are those who are called. No, it is the entire body of Christ that is called to do the work of the ministry. So the work of the ministry is for the body of Christ, for edifying the body of Christ. So the work of the fivefold, or the work of the fourfold, or the work of the ascension, gifts of the offices that Christ has given, is for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. I tell you, unless you're perfected, you will not be effective. Unless you're perfected, you will not be able to do the work of the ministry. It is important that first you take time, you spend time with the Lord, such that you are perfected for the work of the ministry. And the Bible says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In summary, what is this telling us is that the purpose of the fivefold is given for the perfection of the saints. It is given for the perfection of the church. It is given for the maturity of the believer. When the church is mature, then they shall come to the measure unto the perfect man. They shall become mature. They shall come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You shall come to the right doctrine. And then we shall no longer be children tossed and turned by every wind of teaching, by every deception of men, the sleight of men, the cunningness and the craftiness of men, where men lie in wait to deceive people. God desires that every believer grows unto maturity. The purpose of the ascension gifts, the purpose of the offices, the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to make sure that every believer grows to maturity, and these mature believers are no longer deceived. They are no longer deceivable. They are no longer tossed and turned by every wind of teaching. But as they grow in doctrine, as they grow in maturity, they are able to do the work of the ministry. I will stop there for today, because I believe that God will continue to give us the grace to understand the things that He wants us to know from His Word, and I pray that this message has been a blessing to you. So, my brother, I will welcome if you have any questions or any additions. Okay, good. Okay, then if you're well, then yes, so we will pray, and I welcome you to share this message, and also follow and subscribe, as it helps also to get others to share and to grow in this understanding. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we give you thanks, we praise you, we worship your holy name. Thank you for the teaching that you've given us this morning of the ascension gifts, of the offices, of the fivefold ministry. I pray that you may give us understanding of it, that we may grow in truth, growing knowledge, growing in insight, and even for those that God has called to these various offices, I pray for discernment to be able to know that which you have called them to do. I pray for grace, for wisdom, that Lord, even as they will be able to perfect the saints, and even for the saints that are perfected for ministry, that Lord, you shall perfect them for your glory. Indeed, you are faithful, you are holy, and you're excellent. I pray even for my listeners, that Lord, indeed, you know their needs. Whatever it is that they are trusting you and they are waiting on God upon you, that Lord, you shall meet them at their point of need, and that Lord, you shall make it possible for them to know you, to meet you, and to be fulfilled in their heart's desires according to your will. I pray this day that this day shall be blessed, and that Lord, you shall go ahead of us in everything that we do. May your name be blessed and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. We meet again tomorrow as God allows us. Bye. Shalom.